salvation. The reason I chose that particular portion of scripture this morning is we all need encouraged in our faith. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you need to be encouraged on a daily basis in your faith. And the scriptures give us great encouragement. Now often when people read through the book of Acts, they see the great things that are happening there. They see the conversions, they see the church growing, they see the miracles. But there's another side to it as well, isn't there? There was real suffering in the early church. That Paul himself suffered for the cause of the gospel. When he was writing to the church in Corinth, he wrote this. He said to them, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and 3 times I was shipwrecked a night and a day and have spent in the deep. And I've been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on sea, dangers amongst false brethren. So there was a lot of hardship in the early church as well. And it was through that hardship, and it was through that persecution, that the church continued to grow. That people were being reached by the gospel, touched by the gospel, and brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first 12 verses of Acts 20, the verses I read earlier, they're quite revealing in relation to our own journey as Christians. Of course, when I use the term Christian, I mean those of us who put our complete trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. There's only one thing that makes you a Christian. That's, first of all, realizing you're a sinner, because the scriptures make it very clear to us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then secondly, realizing that although we are sinners, and there's no way that because we are sinners we can have a relationship with God, God has provided a way of salvation for each and every one of us when we put our trust in Jesus. When we look at the cross and we see that Jesus suffered and died on the cross for us, he took the punishment that our sin deserved, and when we put our trust in that and see that Jesus accomplished everything that we needed to be put right with God, then we can call ourselves Christians. We can't earn our salvation. You can't do things to try and please God in such a way that he might accept you. It's all through Jesus. And that's the message that was proclaimed in the early church. That's the message that Paul took to all the regions that he went to, that he was proclaiming that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And it's important for us to understand that. So I use the term Christian, meaning those of us who have put our trust in Jesus. Those of us who have acknowledged our sin and put our trust in all that Christ accomplished for us on the cross. And those of us who have believed that he was raised up on the 3rd day, and that he ascended back to heaven, that he's in heaven interceding for all those who belong to him, that he knows our troubles and our trials and our tribulations. And he's our Saviour who is coming back again. He's promised us that he's going to return, that he's going to take all who belong to him to be with him for all eternity. For those who are outside of Christ, the Bible teaches us quite clearly that they will face the judgment of God. And he will have to explain why they rejected the Saviour. And I can tell you this morning that it's not looking good for those who do reject the Saviour. John the Apostle, one of Jesus' disciples, said this in his first letter that he wrote to the churches: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The Apostle Paul also told the Christians in Rome, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we believe in Jesus this morning. We have that wonderful hope, the hope of eternal life. That we know that one day we are going to be taken to be with him, whether after we die, we'll be raised up on the last day, or even when Christ returns, all those who belong to him will be raised up to be with him. It will be a reality, and it will be a reality for each and every one of us who know him. That's something to get excited about, by the way. That's something that should cheer our hearts this morning, to know that we have that hope in Jesus. So in thinking about our identity in Christ and who we are in Christ, we think about that destination, the destination that is set before us. And as we look at this portion of Scripture together this morning, we want to see that God has given us particular things to help us on our journey. The Apostle Paul himself experienced many trials as he journeyed through Asia and as he journeyed through Europe. But he knew that the Lord was with him. And this is what kept him going. He knew that the Lord was standing with him in every single circumstance that he found himself in. It was a journey where he experienced many mixed responses to the message of the gospel. Some received it gladly. Some responded with complete indifference. Oh, we'll maybe think about it and come back to you on this. While others reacted with hostility. There'll always be hostility when the gospel is preached, because people, on the whole, are rebel sinners who don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want it pointed out to them that they are sinners in need of salvation. But even in the face of that hostility, God still works and God still reaches people with that message so that they have the opportunity to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. It's the same today. We'll always experience a mixed reaction to sharing the gospel. That Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But it's a wonderful joy when people respond to that message with saving faith. But it's also sad when the complete opposite happens and people walk away from it. So the gospel is preached, even although people look at it different ways. Some are indifferent, some reject it, but some receive it. So at the beginning of this portion of Scripture we read together in Acts 20, the first 12 verses, we see that Paul and his companions had just escaped from a place where they had experienced an angry reaction to the message that they were bringing to the people, the gospel. That particular episode was in the city of Ephesus, where the people were stirred up by a man called Demetrius. Demetrius saw the gospel as a threat to his business. He was a silversmith, and his main income was from making tiny shrines to the goddess Artemis. A goddess who was worshipped and greatly revered by the people of that great city. I said earlier, there will always be opposition to the gospel. This man was afraid that his livelihood was going to be affected by the preaching of the gospel because people were turning to Christ and turning away from this false god Artemis. People will always be troubled if it's going to affect them personally. I don't know if you know anything about the history of the Salvation Army. But when the Salvation Army was first formed, one of the things that they did was they went out onto the streets And they preached the gospel in the streets. And things were tough back then in London in the mid-19th century. And because they were preaching the gospel, people were responding to the gospel. Now, one of the ways that many people made a living in these days was to sell gin. There were many gin houses. There were many public houses. And people would frequent them every single night. But when the gospel was preached, people were turning to Christ and they were turning away from the drink. And that was one of the messages that the Salvation Army took to the people. They showed them the evils of drink because it had a detrimental effect on the life of the people at that time. And you know what they did? The publicans, the one who sold the drink, they used to hire gangs of men to go out to harass the Salvationists and also to persecute them by throwing stones at them and mocking them and sometimes even beating them because their business was affected. And that was the same here when Paul was in Corinth. This man Demetrius, he was worried about his business. He was going to be able to make the kind of money that he had done in the past because people were turning to Jesus. So Paul and the others, they left that city and they headed back to Macedonia. And then he went to eventually Greece. Then after 3 months, he discovered a plot against him by the Jews. There was always plots against Paul. They wanted to silence this man. So along with his companions, he set off for a place called Troas, which was situated in what we now call modern-day Turkey. And we see in verse 6 that they travelled to where they were going just after the time of the Passover. Then according to Luke, who recorded Paul's journeys in the book of Acts, they arrived in Troas after 5 days, and as it was the Sabbath, they broke bread, or they had communion together, or as we often call it, the Eucharist. And they celebrated this together. Then Paul shared a message from God's word that seemingly lasted until midnight. Check your watches, you're waiting here till midnight. And of course we have that tragic episode of a young boy by the name of Eutychus falling asleep, which led him to falling out the window. It tells us there were lots of lamps in the room. So the place must have been quite hot and stuffy. And this young boy was sitting there, he was listening to Paul. And I'm sure that that's what he wanted to do. But tiredness overcame him. And it overcame him in such a way that he fell from the window and he fell from 3 stories up. It did have a happy ending, of course, when Paul took the opportunity to demonstrate the healing power of Jesus. And of course, I suppose the obvious lesson here is to try not to fall asleep during the preaching of God's word. We had this lovely lady who used to worship with us in Nidri. Doris, her name was, and she was in her hundreds when she died. And she was in her late 90s and she would come to church. She never, hardly ever missed her service. And she would come to church, but because of her age, often she would be tired and she would fall asleep. And that was understandable. Nobody minded that at all. But I remember one service and the minister who was preaching, he was speaking about warning people about the gospel. And he said, look, if your children were crossing the road and there was a car coming, he said, you wouldn't just whisper to them, look out. He said, you would shout at the top of your voice. You be careful, watch out. And he shouted this at the top of his voice. And of course, Doris woke up. And she shouted back, for goodness sake, man, behave yourself. We had another lady at the dream. Nobody mentioned any names, but you would know them anyway. But we had another lady, a lovely lady. She still attends the church. And she too frequently fell asleep where the sermon was on. And I remember one Sunday a few years ago, she fell asleep and she fell off her chair. Much to her embarrassment, by the way. She was really, really embarrassed. And then in verse 12, we're told that Paul went on speaking to those who were present until daybreak. Until daybreak. He spoke to them for a long, long time, didn't he? A long time. We need to hear God's word. We need to hear God's word. Sometimes we only have the capacity to listen for a short while. But remember, it's God that's speaking to us. The Bible tells us that quite clearly, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When we open up the scriptures, when we open up our Bibles, it's God himself that's speaking. And we have to believe that. And we have to respond to that truth by saying, Lord, help me to hear you. Help me to hear what you're saying. And not just hear you, but help me to respond to you. And to put the things that you're saying to me in practice. So that I might live the life that might be honouring to you. The kind of life that you want me to live as a Christian. We need to hear God's word. And not just collectively. Not just when we gather together once a week on a Sunday, but as Christians regularly we need to open up the Word of God and we must allow God to speak to us on a regular basis. And we must always ask the Lord to help us to apply that Word to our lives. So, as we open up God's Word, just as Paul opened up God's Word there in Troas, just as Paul was able to preach for a long, long time and people were willing to listen, what can we learn this morning that will help us as we seek to follow and serve our Lord Jesus Christ? What can God teach us from this passage that will help us as followers of Jesus? As we said earlier, Paul was on a journey. And we learn a bit later in chapter 20, verse 16, that his intended destination was Jerusalem. He knew that he was heading towards Jerusalem. And he knew what awaited him in Jerusalem, because the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that suffering lay ahead for him. Tells us that for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus, this is after he had left Troas, so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem if possible on the day of Pentecost. The late John Stott, many of you probably know or heard of John Stott, a wonderful minister, he states in his commentary on the book of Acts that it's hard to resist the conclusion that Luke sees a parable between Jesus' journey to Jerusalem and Paul's eventual journey to Jerusalem. Paul was journeying on the same route that Jesus took on the last days of his life. He went to Jerusalem knowing that what lay ahead for him there was death on a cross. Paul was journeying to Jerusalem knowing that what lay ahead for him there was execution, eventually, for the gospel. And of course, the resemblance is far from exact, as the mission of Jesus, of course, was unique. We can't say that Paul was the same as Jesus. But what I am saying is that the journey resembled that of Jesus. The similarities between how Luke describes the two journeys is quite stark. Jesus in his gospel and Paul here in Acts is surely intended to help us to see Paul's following in the footsteps of his master. And like Jesus, Paul travelled to Jerusalem with a group of disciples. You know, when we become Christians, when we are saved, when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in many respects we're following in the footsteps of the Master. That's a journey that God has set us on. And like Jesus in his ministry, Paul himself was opposed by hostile Jews. The Jews wanted to silence him. Some of the Gentiles wanted to silence him. They didn't want to listen to the message that he had to bring. And like Jesus, Paul knew he would one day share in the passion and the sufferings of Christ. Like Jesus, he was ready to lay down his life to fulfill the cause for which he had been called. So as Christians, doesn't that make us want to examine our own personal commitment to the cause of the gospel? We may not be an apostle. We may not be an apostle Paul. But like him, we are on a journey, and we too are called to follow in the footsteps of our Lord. Our destination may not be Jerusalem, but our ultimate destination, glory, is the same. So from what we read in this passage concerning Paul's journey, we want to highlight three particular things that are vitally important for each and every one of us as we travel on the road that Christ has set us on. First, we want to see the importance of being encouraged. The word exhortation or exhorted as an address is an address or a communication emphatically urging someone to do something. It tells us here that there was a lot of exhortation going on amongst his disciples, and when he went to Troas, in the church at Troas, he was exhorting them. He was encouraging them in their faith. The word emphatically is used here, as urging people to do that which they are instructed to. I would suggest to us this morning, and that includes myself by the way, that whenever God's word is read, taught or preached, what he has to say to us collectively or as individuals is always of extreme importance. Always of extreme importance. And Paul said this to Timothy, who was a young pastor in training, in 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 to 17, that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Paul knew the importance of exhorting believers from the word of God. They were living in difficult times, so they needed to be encouraged, strengthened, and motivated. And what better way to do so than to draw out from God's word that which they needed to hear? So it's important that the scriptures have a central place in our own private devotions and also in our corporate worship. It's tragic, therefore, to see that the Bible and his teachings no longer has an important place to play in the life of our nation today. When I was a young man, a young boy, Sunday schools and Bible classes were well attended. Linda and Harry would testify to that. The Sunday schools that we had at Nidri were well attended. Parents in the schemes would send their kids to Sunday school, even if they didn't go to church themselves. Prayers were said in schools, and the Bible was read in schools. Churches and mission halls were places that often housed large gatherings. That's mostly gone now. That's no longer the case. The Bible is now seen by many as an ancient document that's completely irrelevant in our modern society. And even some churches no longer see the importance of preaching God's word as something that is important. That's tragic, isn't it? So to be thankful that we still come to churches where God's word, the Bible, still has an important place in our gatherings. Thank God you come to a church where the Bible is opened up, where the Bible is explained, where we're encouraged through the scriptures. And all we need to do is remember that it's what he is, what he actually says, it is the word of God. And if we really grasp that, it might help us to respond to it accordingly. And then secondly, I want us to see the importance of having the right people in our lives. Paul was accompanied by some men. They were disciples, or they'd be disciples of Paul. Paul would be training them. Paul would be helping them to understand what their mission was all about, and how to use their gifts in order to reach people with the gospel. It tells us in verse 4 that he was accompanied by Sopater of Berea, the son of Phineas, and Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, Tychicus, and Trophimus. We're told that he had gone ahead to wait for Paul at a place called Troas, where they eventually ended up. And it's at this point that I need to point out that the Christian life is not meant to be lived out on our own. We need each other. We need the kind of people in our lives who will stand with us at all times, through the good and also through the bad. So it must have been an amazing source of encouragement to Paul to know that that band of brothers were waiting to accompany him on his journey. The Christian life can be tough. It can be tough. And Christians even today are becoming more and more marginalized. We need each other. We need to encourage each other, to be there for each other. We need people who are willing to share our walk with us, to pray with us, to share the scriptures with us, to keep us accountable, to be there for us even when the going gets tough. What a difference it makes when we face life's trials together. On Friday, I had a group of Americans that were over at the church, and I had to take them up to town and I had to do some sightseeing. Now, it was a dreadful day, wasn't it? Rained all day, we were soaked to the skin. But anyway, we were walking down the high street, and as we walked down the high street, outside the Scambit Hotel, a bus drew up. And the doors opened, and these giants got off the bus, and I mean giants. They were big guys. They were massive. Massive biceps. They were rugby players. They were part of the Tonga national rugby team, and they had come to play Scotland yesterday at Murrayfield. We actually won, by the way, 64. But the reason I'm using this story is to show us the importance of being together. You see, there's no way that one man would have faced these giants, is there? There's no way that one man would have stood up against this rugby team. But there were 15 men who stood up to that rugby team, and they defeated them. And it's the same in the Christian life. We need each other. On our own, we might struggle, but when we have each other, and when we are in each other's lives, we can encourage each other and help each other in our walk with Jesus. Wonderful, isn't it, that God has given us people in our lives. And he's given us them for a particular reason. How encouraging are you, how encouraging am I towards my brothers and sisters in Christ? It's something to think about, isn't it? We want to be an encouragement. We want to help people in their walk. And we also want people to help us in our walk. To be there for each other. That's what fellowship is all about. lastly, just our last point is this, that the chapter or the portion of the scripture that we read together ends with them coming together to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Now, we were speaking about the importance of sharing the gospel. And that's what Paul's ministry was all about. That's what the others' ministry was all about. It was about sharing the gospel. And as Christians, we need to be continually reminded of the gospel. You know, we don't just hear the gospel once and respond to it. But as Christians, we need to constantly come to the gospel to see who we are in Christ and what Christ has done for us. And as we come together to share the Lord's Supper together, to break bread together, we are looking at a picture of the gospel. That Jesus' body, who was broken for us, the blood that was shed on that cross, that our sins might be cleansed, that we might be forgiven, that we might be brought back into a relationship with God. So when we come round the Lord's table, we're looking at a wonderful picture of the gospel. And that should encourage our hearts. It should encourage our hearts. We're all on a walk with Jesus. We're all following in his footsteps. We need people in our lives. We need to be encouraged. We need to be continually reminded of the gospel. We need to be continually pointed to Jesus. We sung that lovely hymn earlier. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Amen. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. And may God's word have been a blessing to each one of you this morning.